Thank the Lord. Well, I want to continue a little bit this evening on what the direction that I was going down this morning. And look at a few verses tonight. I'm not going to, at least I don't think I'm going to spend much time. I shouldn't say that because never know really how long it'll take me to get some things said. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, be a starting point tonight. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Do you see that there? Paul's talking here in the very first verse about the heaviness. In heaviness. There's something that weighs him, that burdens him. If you jump over to chapter number 11, you go to chapter 11 and verse 3, he starts verse 3 with the words, "But I fear." So, what is it that Paul's fearing? Well, he goes on to explain, but let me back up here to verse number 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do we understand the word subtlety? That's the King James translation. If you look at other translations, it has other words that are involved with it. Now, you know that I am not, would be not considered to be a Greek scholar, but I looked at that word in the Greek text. Panorgia, something like that. It gives us a deeper definition of what the word subtlety is used as and what it means within the context that Paul was giving it. Now we got to keep in mind that there's something about this that Paul is weighing heavy. You have to go back to chapter 2 to see that, but he's weighing heavily. It's weighing heavily on him. And then we come here to verse number 3 of chapter 11 and he says, "But I fear." This word subtlety means adroitness. Does that help anybody? It didn't help me. I mean, I had a general idea of what I thought that word meant. It means daft, deft is the way that's pronounced. Deft or dexterous. Now I'm getting a little bit of a feel for the word. Getting just a little bit more of a feel. Skillful and adept in dangerous or difficult circumstances. Are you getting a better understanding? I'm thinking about a mountain goat on the side of a mountain, and cliffs and shifting shale that is easily able to throw the mountain goat down, but he's deft. He's adept. He's skillful. Dexterous. Wow. Now, Paul's using this here, this particular word, to point to us about the working of Satan. And it's so alarming to him that he tells the Corinthian church, but I fear. He wants the Corinthian church to be able to be presented to God as a bride adorned, a chaste bride adorned for the husband, for Christ. But I fear through the subtlety of the enemy, adroitness. It also means trickery. We probably don't need too much description of that word. That's simple enough for the majority of us. Trickery. Sophistry is another definition or another word that comes out of or from the meaning of that Greek word that Paul is using in this context. Sophistry. What is sophistry? Now, I've heard the word for a number of years, and I've even used the word at different times and in different contexts than what I would think of in this particular context. So I had to do a little deeper study to see really what this word was meaning. Sophistry. It's a plausible. Let's stop right there. Well, I don't like it when preachers use such big words that I have to get stuck on a word and figure it out before we can go on. But here we are. We're trying to define something here that is important enough for Paul to say, but I fear. A plausible, that is, seemingly and apparently valid, likely, or acceptable. Plausible. Giving a deceptive impression of truth. Plausible. Giving a deceptive impression of truth. I wish Paul Gray was here tonight, because I'm going to use him as an example. He was driving a Ford Flex Friday night. Now, if you know Paul and Nancy Gray, they have had 15 Lincoln Town Cars in the course of their life together, their marriage. 15 different Town Cars. I don't ever remember them having anything but a Town Car. They'd buy late models, cheap, low miles, and they would drive them for another 100 more thousand miles. They were fine cars. They pulled in here Friday night, and I looked at that thing. I said, what in the world? Well, John Manley looked at that, and he said, did you all drive two vehicles? Paul Gray, plausible. Plausible is what the word we're looking at. Paul Gray said, nope, that's the only vehicle we have over here. That's it. John Manley said, but Brother Paul, I'm sure that I saw your Lincoln at church last night with your P&G license plate. Everybody knows when you see Paul and Nancy Gray's car that that's what plate is on it. Everybody that knows them knows that. Paul, I know I saw your Lincoln. Well, there was a valid, likely acceptable, deceptive impression I had that last night. He said, I traded it today, Friday, in Salem for that Flex. Did my battery go out? I thought I'd make it. Okay. Giving a deceptive impression of truth. Okay, now let's go back to the definition of sophistry. It's a plausible but misleading or fallacious argument. There's another big word. Fallacious, containing fundamental errors in reasoning. Sophistry. Are you getting the feel of what this sophistry is?
It may kind of be mix and match here, but it sounds to me like sophistry is a facade behind which there's a whole lot of turmoil going on with truth and error. But the facade is put up there in an attempt to make it appear sound, rational, reasonably truthful, and even good. And whether you know it or not, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there that you can read and you can see and you can hear that sounds good. But down inside of it. So when Paul uses this word, subtlety, you've got to understand in the context of which he's using it, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through this twisting of truth, making it appear plausible, making it appear good, but in the end it's misleading and it is missing fundamental truths. You know what that tells me? It tells me that you and I are not, free from the possibilities. Of being deceived. And the thing is, you and I know people that have been deceived. And we stand back at this point or at this juncture and we cross our eyes and say, how did they get to where they are? Sometimes it so boggles our mind that it makes us stare at the darkened ceiling at night, trying to sleep, trying to understand it, all in the same moment, trying to figure out how it could possibly be. How is it? It's through the subtlety of the devil. It's so very real what Peter tells us in his epistle. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking. Now Peter was telling us that he's walking around as a roaring lion, but it's not always the case. But he is seeking. You remember in the book of Job, God speaks to Satan and he says, have you considered my servant Job? And what was the response of Satan? Oh yes, God, I have scrutinized him. I have checked him out. And I believe that there is a little chink in his armor. There's a little bit of a crevice that I can get into if you will but allow me to take everything that he has. Have you considered my servant Job? Yes, I have. Beware, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to wrap this up with a very simple and maybe too bold of a statement. But considering what was said and done this morning, I want you to know that I'm concerned. This very thing is happening among us. This very thing is happening among us. It has happened, and it's still happening. The subtle working of the enemy. Changes that take place in the spiritual dryness of the soul are dangerous changes that take place. And whether we know it or not, the last 6 months, spiritually, while we have enjoyed some of God's best times in our services, it has been ultimately a difficult time across the board in spiritual arenas. Whether we can see it or understand it or not, the enemy has made hay in the midst of these days, and the changes that have taken place in some people's lives, in the dryness of the soul. And we have experienced, not everybody's here tonight, obviously. So yeah, there's probably going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's going to press it on me again. But for those of us that are here, and those that may be listening, the subtlety of the devil, the appearance of truth, the appearance of reasonableness, the appearance of a good rationale, but it's not. It's not. And sometimes we are so removed from the voice of God speaking to us that we can't hear. Sister Etta said before service tonight that sometimes people think that their children are going to catch salvation or something along the get to heaven the same way you catch measles or something along that line. You know, just by some accident. It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be intentional. It's going to be a focus. It's going to be a spiritual working in our mind as well as our heart to withstand the wiles and the sneakiness, the sophistry, the trickery of the enemy. Folks, we need to be on our knees praying. Even if it's a figurative on your knees, some people like to walk, some people need to sit, whatever the case may be, we need to be on our face before God seeking Him for people that just, and it could include any one of us at some point. Have you considered my servant Job? Oh yes, I've checked him out, I've scrutinized him, and I think I know. Well, don't think that Satan hasn't had his crosshairs on you, any one of us. It's very possible that he has. I want to make it to heaven. I want to make my family to make it to heaven. I want you and your families to make it to heaven. It's going to take intentional walking with Jesus. Let's walk with him. Let's stand, if you would, please.